The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. We're glad to have you here. If we could just stand together and sing number 528, In the Service of the King. Let's stand together as we sing.
So happy we are. I see smiling faces, so praise God that we're happy in the service of the King. You know, please pray for Pastor as he's away and that he'll have safety as he comes back to us. I really believe he's a man with wisdom beyond his years. I ask him many times for help in the ministry, and he has wisdom beyond his years. I'm 20 years older than he is. And you think that he would ask me, but no, it's not that way at all because of the experience that he has in the ministry. Please pray for him. Evangelist Bruce Fry, pray for him as he'll be with us starting Wednesday to Friday and then here for Chicken on the Grounds. Pray for Will and Alicia. I don't know exactly how to say this last name, Grininski. They were here this morning. And they plan on coming back. There is a connection with the Nets program with them. So praise God that God is using this church. Amen. Is right. And pray for Jessica Nicole. Remember last week she was in hospital and she's doing much better. Ruth said she's doing much better. So continue to pray for her. She's a friend of Ruth's and Ruth brings her children to the Sunday school. So if the ushers would come forward at this time, please. And Brother Tony Baker, would you open in a word of prayer?
Father, we're so awesome to be in this sanctuary here, Lord, with you tonight. And Lord, we look forward to your word as it's opened up to us and preached unto us. We also thank you for supplying our needs and through the offerings. I pray, Father, that you'll bless it to the furtherance and use of the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
one more time. Number 526, Bring Them In. Let's stand as we sing, Bring Them In.
Press on.
544, if we could just sing that together as a group, if we could just stand together, 534, the longer I sing him, the longer I serve him.
He's weaving you and me to someday be God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you can't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. When you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust.
Baker and Amanda and Lori and all the singing that goes on here is wonderful. You know, the song there, To Be Like Jesus, the part there was to be like him, and David was a man after God's own heart, yet he was so much like the Lord. And what made him like the Lord so much? His heart was broken many times. David would weep at night. His bed would be filled with tears. And God's own heart is broken over this world, over the sin of this world. And he wants us, the world, to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. You know, there was a man, George Mueller. He read this, I think it was George Mueller, that read this blessed book 100 times. And he said, I've just scratched the surface. It's inexhaustible. When I study God's word, there's so much that comes out when I'm preparing a message. Lord, help me to narrow this down, because there's so much in the Bible for me. People say, well, I've read that one time. What's the big deal? Read it again, and read it again, and read it again. You can't exhaust it. There's something there every time you read it, God's holy word. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21, I just want to read to you a verse first. You know that Saul was after David and wanted to see him dead. He was envious at him. They sang of him slaying his 10,000 and Saul only his thousands. And he was upset. And he wanted David destroyed. And 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 1 says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. That they should kill David, and this greatly upset Jonathan. And Jonathan went to his dad and communed with his dad, and David was brought back into a place of fellowship again with Saul. But then Saul lifted up his hand again against David. And they had to meet, David and Jonathan met, and he told David, he said, I want you to stay in this place, come back here in 3 days. And he says, I'm going to give you a sign if my dad is going to come after you. I'm going to have a boy with me, and he's going to shoot 3 arrows. If he shoots them to the right of you, then it's okay. You can come with me. But if he shoots them beyond you, then you know that Saul is determined to kill you. And that's what happened. Those arrows went beyond David, and they went, and they hugged and wept together. And David went his way. And then I want to pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto him like the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. Him and his men were about to die. They were starving to death. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hollow bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner common. Yea, though I were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hollow bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, or the shoe bread, that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day named, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen of belonging to Saul. He was a man in charge. He was a herdman. Doeg was detained before the priest, probably to pronounce him clean of leprosy, or because he wanted to be received into the Israelite community. Nevertheless, he was being held. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear and sword, or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And David said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is none other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And then we pick up the story with Saul that's hunting after David. Chapter 22 and verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under the tree of Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with this son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, this man was an evil man, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, and Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And verse 10, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given me bread and a sword, given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all the servants of David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thy house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knoweth, knew nothing of all this, less or more. You know, my heart was moved when I found out about that this man was going to be destroyed and all the priests. My God moved my heart for these men that were serving as priests, and they're about to be killed. You know, bad things happen to good people sometimes. And here they are, the priests of the Lord, and they're about to be slain. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because there is a hand also with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew all on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. That's 85, you know that. And Noab, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children, sucklings, and oxen, like babies and sheep, with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. This young man must have been in some kind of awful distress, seeing all these people killed. His mom and his dad and probably brothers and sisters being slain, and all the priests and all this city being destroyed. And here's this one young man that's fleeing away. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. What a man David was. He takes responsibility. Saul's not taking responsibility for all the death of them, but David takes that responsibility. In verse 23, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. And I thought, if we apply this to the Lord, abide with me, you get saved and you're in safeguard. The ones that seek my life seek your life, but with me you will be safe. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the word of God, and I'm thankful for this man, David, that was the anointed of the Lord, fleeing from Saul, and Lord, he was able to help this young man and to see him grow and to encourage him. And Lord, there's many young men in this church that need to be encouraged in you, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage them in the things of God when things don't go right in their life. And Lord, each one of us need to be encouraged from the scripture tonight. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Abiathar's safety was under the protection of God, under the man of God. Let's track some of Abiathar's life, just in a few passages. David's priest was at Keilah. If you would just turn ahead to verse 9 of chapter 23. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. So David's using him as a priest. And then another passage in chapter 30 in verse 7. This is when the Amalekites came and raided Ziklag and took David's wives and his children. And David was much discouraged, and the people thought of stoning him. And you know he was encouraged by the Lord. And in verse 30 of, or verse 7 of chapter 30, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And you know that this was to get a message from God. Should I go and try and get them back? And the message came back, yes. So he's using him as a priest. Through the rebellion of Absalom, he is used. 2 Samuel chapter 15, if we track him a little bit more, and verse 35, he's used as a spy. Absalom wants to take the kingdom, and he wants to destroy his dad. And David has to send some spies in to find out what's going on so he can counteract the battle that's going to take place. And he uses this man, this priest. Chapter 15 and verse 35. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So they brought the word back to David that Solomon or Absalom was going to join all Israel together to kill David. And David had to flee for his life. But it's because he used this priest as a spy. And he was in safeguard as long as he was with David, this man, this priest, this man that had to flee when all his family was destroyed. Something happens, though. And this is probably because he is descendant of Eli the priest. You know, Eli the priest that had Samuel with him, and God brought a judgment upon his house because of the sin of his two sons. And unfortunately, this young man is a descendant from there. But because David said you're going to be in safeguard, he still is safe. Abiathar leaves this protection, though, and joins. He doesn't join up with Absalom, but he joins up with the other son, Adonijah, that wants to destroy David. In 1 Kings chapter 1, if you would turn there. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zerah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they followed Adonijah, helped him. So he joined up with Adonijah to try and destroy King David, another son of David. And you know the story. And if you don't, we don't have time in the message to go through that whole story. If you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, and verse 26. Of course, Adonijah is destroyed. David has him, or Solomon has him slayed. And then he deals with this young man, Abiathar, in chapter 2 and verse 26. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, into thy own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon is saying, I'm going to give you a little bit of help because you were afflicted like my father was. And you stood with my father against Absalom. And you stood with him for many years. And you made this one mistake. You went after Adonijah. So he's thrust out. Verse 27. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. But Abiathar finds mercy in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 4. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. So he's taken out of one office and put into another office as priest. So he's still getting some mercy from the Lord. And the Lord mentions him in the book of Mark. If you would turn there, Mark chapter 2. So he made a bad move, but God was merciful to this young man. Mark chapter 2 and verse 25. And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was a-hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them. So this man was in safeguard as long as he was with David. And he got away from David. He wasn't in safeguard, but he still found mercy with the Lord. And doesn't that happen to us many times? We get out away from the Lord. We're in safeguard, but we get away from the Lord, and he's merciful to us, and he brings us back. We are in safeguard in the local church. The local church is a safe place to be. It's a place where God honors. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are in a safeguard in this local New Testament body, and he has placed a pastor over us to watch over us. We are in safeguard from man. The Bible says, obey God rather than man, Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. We are in safeguard from self. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Lots of times our own worst enemy is ourself. We cause problems ourself. But God says, trust in him, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Safeguard from evil. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's talking about Jesus. No matter how strong the devil is, and no matter how strong the demons are, we have Jesus inside of us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God can deliver us in our time of need. We are safeguard from damnation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. John chapter 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We are in safeguard. We have the salvation because of Jesus Christ. And he's placed us in a wonderful body of believers to keep us safe. We are sheep. We are his sheep. And he has a plan. And that plan is the local church. And everything that takes place in our community should come out from the local church. Everything that we do should be authorized by the local church. It's the work of the Lord. We are in safeguard from the devil. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I can't think of a better way of resisting the devil than on our knees, praying and reading this blessed book and serving God. We are in safeguard in the local New Testament body of believers. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 13. I think there's a couple of verses here. I've got down verse 17, but I think there's one in verse 7 also. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We don't always like to obey them that have the rule over us, but God says that we ought to do it. It'll be good for us, and it'll be good for the man that has to stand before God and give an account for the sheep, that he may do it with joy and not with sorrow. When we fall, when we backslide, when we are carnal, when we get under conviction for our sin, there's an answer for that. The answer is Jesus. The answer is not the pastor. The answer is not the fellow brethren. The answer is Jesus. We turn to Jesus. We don't turn to man. We don't turn to a priest to have our sin forgiven. I can forgive your sin. You say, Paul, I did something wrong, and I say, well, I can forgive you. And vice versa. You can forgive me. But we can't pay for sin. Only Jesus can do that. Only he can pay for the sin. We can forgive each other, but only God can forgive and take away sin. When we fall, when we're backslidden, when we're out of God's will, when we're in trouble, when we don't have the joy of the Lord, turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And you know this verse. And then we're going to look at a couple other verses in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What is our first love? To me, the first love I had was, when I got saved, was telling people about Jesus. When I got saved that very day, I had to tell people about Jesus. I had to go and tell people about Jesus. I had the love in my heart that God had taken away all my sin, and I wanted everybody to have that same thing. I wanted them to have that love that I had in my heart. I wanted them to know that their sins were forgiven. To me, that's the love, the first love. When you go to church and you're having a fun time and every service is wonderful and you're singing and you're having a great time fellowshipping, that's the love. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I find it so wonderful, this next program, to go out and tell people about Jesus and to see the need of people and to be with Jesus. Jesus says, I'll be with you when you go. Go ye therefore in all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and lo, I am with you always. Always, every way, I am with you. And I claim that promise when I go out. When I go out soul winning in the streets of Simcoe, I claim that promise. Jesus, please, I need you. I need you. Please be with me. And it's wonderful, the joy that you have that you're with Jesus. That's, to me, the first love that we have. And Jesus says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then Revelation chapter 3, And verse 14, Jesus rebukes the Laodicean church. We are supposed to be the Laodicean church. We are the church of Laodicea. We are the last church this age. And he says in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Oh, there's so many things in that one verse about Jesus. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is from the beginning. He has no beginning. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, not increased in the Spirit of God, but increased in goods, not increased with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, not increased with those things, but increased with goods, and have need of nothing." We have our freezers full. We have our fridges full. We have our gas tanks full. We have beautiful cars. We have beautiful clothes. We have a beautiful auditorium. We have all the things of this world. But what's our heart for God? "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched." Paul said, the apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of sin?" Here's a man serving God, that the preaching of his preaching went through the whole world and came as far as us, and he calls himself a wretched man. And miserable. Job said to his friends, "Oh, miserable comforters are you." All the suffering that he was going through, and his friends were on top of that. And he said, "Oh, miserable comforters are you." And poor David said, "I am poor and needy, Lord." Here's a king, the king of Israel, that has all the riches in the world. And David says, "I am poor and needy, Lord." These great men of God, they knew about this before it was ever written. "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not thou that are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And God does chasten us as his sons, and he brings us back to a place of service for him. "Be zealous, therefore, and repent," God says. "Be zealous and repent of your sin." We say we want revival and we pray for revival, but we as people, we need to repent to God to see revival. Individually. Repent. Then he says, and we use this for soul winning, but really, and I don't think there's anything wrong with using this verse for soul winning. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is he knocking at your heart's door to come in? You can't have sin. You have to turn that sin over to Jesus before he fills you with his Holy Spirit to be used. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us, but to be really used for him to come in, you have to get those things out. We talk about others, how people dress scantily. Well, what about us? Does God speak to us when we wear clothes that are not suitable for God? When we get a hold of this lifestyle that's not suitable to God, and we're under conviction and we turn away from it, God says, repent. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and then sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the last church, and he spoke to all these seven churches. But if you have an ear, let yourself hear what God is saying. He wants us to repent. We talk about revival. Revival has to take place in the Christian's life. And then people will be saved. That's what took place in David's life. In Psalm chapter 52, if you read through that. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, Lord. Then I will see people converted unto you. I will see people converted unto you. So there are an application. When we fall, let's turn to the Lord. And God has a command for us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And it's not just that we teach, but we preach too. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. Everything that we have, we are to love God. And then if we love God, we are going to love our neighbor, and we're not going to want to do wrong to our neighbor. And Luke chapter 16 and verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. Boy, when I think of some of the places that I've knocked on the doors here in Simcoe, some of the houses, some of the big houses that I've knocked the doors on, and wow, rich people. But God says, I want you to preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. I don't care if they're poor or rich or a child or an old person. I want you to preach the gospel to them, to every person that we meet. He's concerned about the rich man. He's concerned about the poor man. He's concerned about the 5-year-old. He's concerned about the 10-year-old. If the rapture takes place, I believe that the little babies are under the blood of the Lord. But what about 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds that know the difference between right and wrong? They'll be left behind. And maybe they've heard the gospel, and maybe they won't get another chance. Maybe it'll be somebody that we know when the rapture takes place, and these little children are left behind to fend for themselves. Mom and dad are gone, they're saved, and I never got saved. A 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, left behind in the great tribulation period. And they know the scriptures, these young people, they know and they can see what's going to take place. God, that God would be merciful. I don't know. Like, I've heard that they don't have a chance after that. I don't know. I hope that they'd have a chance to get saved again, that they would turn to the Lord and God would be merciful and save them. Are you saved tonight? If the rapture took place tonight and all of us went to be with the Lord and all the clothes on the pews just dropped down and there was a couple of people left here, you'd be scared to death. Wow, what's happening? They're all gone. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I pay attention? Why didn't I get saved? Why didn't I turn my heart over to the Lord? And you know what? It could happen tonight. The Lord could come. He is coming. He is coming. We don't know when, but he is coming. And the thing is, when he comes, the second time, not the rapture, the second time when he comes at the end of the tribulation period. The Bible says that every eye will see him. Every eye will see Jesus when he comes. And they'll know who they've mistreated. And they'll know who they've misjudged and how they've trampled under their feet the Son of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a great responsibility. And it's a great responsibility for all of us. Every one of us have a command from God. You deal with the command that God has laid on your heart. And it's up to me. I can't police you. We can't police each other. Are you doing this? We have to do it because we love God. Because we want to do what's right. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the scripture, and thank you for the teaching that this man was in safeguard with David as long as he was with him. And we are in safeguard, Lord, that we're saved. We have a home in heaven. But Lord, we can make it so hard on ourselves if we don't obey you. We can be chastised, and Lord, we can go through many things that we need not to go through as your children because of our disobedience, because of our unwillingness to surrender and to repent, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you please stand to your feet? We're going to have a word of invitation. The altar is open. If God is dealing in your heart, I don't know what he's doing in your heart, and you'd like to come to this old-fashioned altar and have a word of prayer, please do. Tony's going to sing. Thank you. You may be seated. Calvin's going to come with some announcements, and then we'll discuss the next meeting.
Don't forget, this week we have our open-air meetings just outside the gym there, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, with Evangelist Bruce Fry. Bring a lawn chair. And then teens on Saturday, we have our canoe trip meeting here at the church at 2 o'clock. The cost for that is going to be $5. That'll cover the barbecue and the food for that. And then on Sunday, we have chicken on the grounds. That kicks off at 4. I believe there's a soccer game, and I don't know if they might do some baseball again, but it's a good time for everyone there. Bruce Fry again, preaching and singing. Family camp at Camp Yes, and then the Camp Yes age groups there are in your bulletin, and there are sign-up sheets out in the corner of the hallway, and I believe that's everything.
Well, we're going to have the next meeting now, and team supplication, they're going to meet in the teenager's room. And team saturation, they're going to meet in Ruth Fett's classroom. Team salutation, we're going to meet right down here. And team salvation, we'll meet over here. And the rest will be dismissed. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us this week, Lord. Help us to be a witness to people. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Convict our hearts. Draw us close to you, Lord, that we might hand a gospel tract out, give a word of testimony, that we would spend time on our knees in prayer and supplication, Lord, before you, that souls might be saved. Pray you'd bring our preacher back safely tomorrow, Lord. Bless each one that's bowed in your presence. Thank you for each one that's here, Lord. These are your saints, Lord. These are your chosen. These are your wonderful people. Bless them this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.